I'm reading Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Fionnuala. A word of prayer. Lord, your blessing be upon both the reading and the preaching of your word this day for us in your life. And for our web listeners, we pray. And all God's people said, title of my offering is Lead On. This is one of these great passages of scriptures that is often used at Christian conferences to rally the troops. And they come out wired, all ready for action at the end of the conference, and a week later, an awful lot of them are deflated. So I have no intention this morning of wiring you up. But I will say it is an amazing passage. It is God speaking to Joshua, who is about to lead a nation into what is now today Israel. And these are God's instructions to what we would consider the prime minister, stroke general, stroke God, hearing from God, all in one. And God is speaking directly to this man as he is about to lead a bunch of people, a nation of people, to take possession of a land that they will have to fight for. This is not a passage about your life is rough and God is going to make it smoother. This is a passage about God's purpose, God's will, and God's way of doing his work for his people at this particular given time. So he's speaking to his general and to his man whom he has given charge to this. So he's the main leader. So hence my title, Lead On. That makes sense. All right. Working at it then, with verses 1 to 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. The first point we have in this is Joshua heard God speaking. So God speaks. And there you have it. And all you have in the verses from 1 to 9 is actually God speaking. All of the time. So God is now speaking to Joshua. You have it even in verse 1. He's acknowledging that Moses has died. And Moses was the man to get him out of Egypt. and would have got him into the promised land, only the lads balked with fear and unbelief, and a whole generation died. So this is the next generation. Moses is now gone, so this is Joshua. So we understand the context. So God speaks. The next thing is grand, yeah. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I had promised Moses. So the next thing that Joshua has, well, first of all, he has God's purpose, that he is to cross the river, Jordan, into the land. So you have God speaks, you have God's purpose. And then you have, I will give you every place where you set your foot. And in verse 4, he describes the territory. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. God speaking, God's purpose, and what you have is God's promise. No, any half-baked leader in the world would give anything to hear God speaking, to know God's purpose, and to know God's promise. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? Joshua didn't have to say, I wonder, was this a dream? Not one, you know, did I hear right? Have I misunderstood something? The purposes were very clear. He was taking over from Moses. God was giving him a way to get the people to cross the Jordan River into the land. Everywhere Joshua put his foot would belong to the people of God. And then the boundaries were established there and then. So God speak, God's purpose, God's promise. Would you give anything to know if God spoke to you, God's purpose for your life, and God's promise to go with that purpose? How many people would like that? Lead on. I will lead on. We go on to the next one. So this is a good start, isn't it? Really good. It doesn't get a whole pile better than this. All right. Now we have God's reassurance. One of the most valuable things you can have as a leader is reassurance, especially when you need it, right? And reassurance is then verse 5. Now this is a remarkable thing. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that's reassurance with a capital R. You can't get any more reassured than this. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. It's not that he won't have opposition. Actually, he'll have great opposition. But when it's all over, Joshua will still be standing. First thing. And then Joshua knew what it was like to have a relationship with God as he observed Moses. And what God is saying, actually, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You'll hear from me. I'll give you wisdom, I'll direct you, all of that, etc., etc. Okay, I'm still connected anyway. And then, the promise, I will not leave you, nor forsake you. You with me so far? God's reassurance. If you got that, do you think it would reassure you? Never a worry. Well, maybe never a worry, but there'd be few and far between. Never a care as such, really. That's verse 5. So that's God's reassurance. After reassurance, as a leader, the next thing you need to know is exactly what God gave him. Great logical order in this. And you have God's directives. That obviously has to be verse 6. And God's directives are simply this. Be strong and be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So, he has a great deal of reassurance. He knows his purpose. He has God's promise. He has God's reassurance that this is going to work. And now he has his first instructions. To be strong and to be courageous. It was dangerous work. It was very challenging work. He wouldn't be long doing it when he had to face major decisions and to make even painful choices at times. There was trouble on the outside and there was trouble on the inside. But God's assurance, God's directives, in other words, God's instructions. And lead on, Joshua. God is not finished, because we said 1 to 9, so we're only at verse 6. So there's a bit more to come. Now, in verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. No, he's already said, be strong and courageous. Now he's saying, be strong and very courageous. You can see why lads rally the troops, can't you? And they take this passage out and they do a really good job of explaining this, defining this, and they rally you up and off you go. But the Lord's not doing that with Joshua. He was just saying, look, you've got to be strong, you've got to be very courageous. So this is going to take strength and courage. I meant to say at the beginning, why am I doing this sermon? I had many other sermons I could do. But I remember this passage was given to me by a friend of Fionnuala's. Her name is Jimma. Probably 25, it could even have been 30 years ago. Somewhere between 25 and 30 years ago. And I was starting off what was now my Christian ministry of selling books. And everywhere I went, doors closed, etc., getting nowhere. And I certainly was beginning to sag, get discouraged, fear was setting in and all this. And Jimmy, God be good to her, still on this earth, heard a talk of this by a man called Stanley, a Baptist preacher from America. Did a very good job on it, and she gave me the tape. That was a tape, and I listened to it several times, and it did give me, it kind of helped me a bit to move forward, you know. I was just standing still, so I moved forward trembling, but at least we were moving forward. And I remember that, and the Lord reminded me of that message last night. So be strong and be courageous. In following God, it's going to take strength. And it's going to take courage. Strength. When I test anyone that comes to me to lead, the first thing I want to know is, how much stress can they handle? Mental, physical, and emotional. Because when God is telling Joshua to be strong, they're all of those three areas. You've got to be strong mentally. You've got to be able to take the pressure. You've got to be able to handle stress. Because you're facing situations that are deeply challenging. Very frightening. And there's stress and there's tension all over. And the natural human reaction when all that comes is to say, thank you very much, God used somebody else. And that's where courage comes in. Many, many people look at leading and say, I can do that. And many people could actually do it. And actually, in fact, in some cases, may even do a better job than us leaders. But that's in the organization, that isn't the presenting, and that isn't doing stuff. But that is not the main thing. The main thing is you've got to be able to handle the stress that goes with it, the pressure, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And you have to build the courage to break through all of that. Now, Joshua has that, like with, I don't know, a million plus people. So you can see why the Lord is saying is be strong and be very courageous. And then, of course, you're facing war. So that's strength and that's courage. Then he says, be careful to obey. Isn't that interesting? All the law my servant Moses gave to you. So not alone do you have to have strength and courage, you also have to have obedience. Let me give you an idea of how I learned to obey to whatever level I have today. Somewhere along the line, I had to learn you can fight God at every battle and every decision. Does that make sense? Either you're going to obey him or you're not. You have to come before him and say, right, Lord, I am willing to do your will. If it is by item, by request or by command, then you have that stress each time, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? And all your energy, mental, emotional, and physical, and all the stress will be made up in trying to figure out, will I do this or won't I? Does that make sense? Eventually, somewhere along the line, you have to make a decision, I'm willing to give a good shot anyway. No, they'll still be resting. So what he's saying to Moses, this case to Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Because Moses, or Joshua, was leading the people of God. And there was instructions. So obedience is key. You can never lead unless you're willing to obey. A leader is no use to God. No one gets it right. So we're not saying perfect, but there has to be a fair level of obedience. You know what I mean? It can't be the wrestling all the time. Will I, want to? I'll say yes to this. I'll say no to that. It doesn't go that way. So that's what he's saying. Then he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So you encourage obedience, and the next thing you need, well, I think verse 8, we keep going with it. Keep this book of the law. That was the first 5 books of the Bible, by the way, so it's not too bad. Always on your lips, meditate on day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So strength and courage and obedience. No, there's another thing he needs. Since he has got to keep the law, well, you know, obey the law, not deviate, and he's got to keep it in front of him all the time. Do you know why that is given? It's given so he remains focused. I asked a man one day up in the gym who was a successful businessman. I said, what's the key to your success? He said, in a word, focus. You got to focus and stay focused on what you're doing. And I asked him, where did you learn that? He said, I watched good GAA men playing. And I realized the best players didn't always have necessarily the best skill, but they had the best focus. So if you're focused and you stay focused, you have a much better chance. So he needs emotional, physical, and mental strength. He needs courage. But he needs to be obedient to the instructions of the Lord given by Moses. And he needs to keep that in front of him. Because as he's marching, God has given him instructions about what is in, what is out, what is forbidden, and what's restricted. And if you read the book on further, they deviated from one instruction and thousands of people lost their lives in one battle. So there was a focus. It was vitally important that Joshua did exactly what the Lord had commanded him to do, what was written down. Deviation one way or the other would end up in a heap of trouble. Lead on. Now, Joshua knows that God has spoken to him, correct? Joshua knows God's purpose and mission for him. We've just looked at it, isn't it? Take the people, bring them into the land. Joshua also knows God's promise of success. Isn't that right? Wherever you go, wherever you put your foot, that'll be your land. Joshua also has God's reassurance. As I was with Moses, I will be with you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. He has God's directives and God's instructions. And then he is also directed to what is written down by Moses. And he now knows he needs courage, strength, and focus. Agreed? Wouldn't that be a good summary now of what we've just looked at? Joshua knows all that by now. I reckon that's a fair, you know, it's a fair assessment based on what we've had so far anyway. Now here's the question. What more could he need? He knows God's spoken to him. He knows God's purpose. He knows God's promise of success. He has God's reassurance. He has God's instructions. He knows he needs courage, strength, and focus. So, why didn't God stop there at those verses? Because you would think that would be enough, wouldn't you? What more could you need? If you know what God is, let me put it this way. Supposing you know that God has spoken, he knows God's spoken to him, he knows God's purpose. Supposing you had known that God has spoken to you, that you knew God's purpose, mission for you, right? That you knew God's promise of success. That you knew God's reassurance, I'll be with you. You knew God's instructions. But you know something. In all of this, there is something that only Joshua can do. Do you know that? It's coming in the next two verses. Joshua will have to face fear, and Joshua will have to face discouragement. Have I not commanded you? This is God speaking to Joshua, right? Verse 9. Be strong and be courageous. Why command him? You see, in the Christian world, what we want to do is, we want to, with the greatest respect, open your head a little, right? Stuff in the 9 verses of Joshua 1 to 9, sew you back up, send you back out, and say you're ready for us. People go off and say, God is with me, he has reassured me, I'm promised success, out I go, and they don't last a week. And I don't say that badly. So have I commanded you, be strong and courageous. After all of what God has said, he's now saying to him, you've got to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Now, why would he say that to him? If he has God's purposes and he has all of the stuff of God, all the reassurances, and he has everything he needs, well, then why does he need to worry about fear? Why does he need to have even a cause to be discouraged? Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That's a command. And then he gives the reason why he shouldn't be that way. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, strength, mental, physical, emotional, has to be chosen. Courageous is a choice. You have to choose to be courageous. Do not fear. You have to choose not to let fear rule you. That's what he's saying to him. Yes, he sent him, I'll be with you. So why does he have to battle fear if God is with him? Why does he have to battle discouragement if God is with him? Surely there should be no fear. Surely there should be no discouragement. That's how the thing is usually pumped. I'll be strong in the Lord. I have courage because God is with me. But he's commanding these things to him. You see, they don't happen naturally. It's one thing for us Christian community. You know what? We're really good and we're very comfortable in our own kind of Christian bubble. And we have strength, we have courage, and we're not fearful. But take us out of that bubble and just put us into the real world. And often we find people are paralyzed with fear. They're controlled by it. And somebody says, boo, a load of rubbish. They are flattened and not go again. Many preachers and teachers and scriptures have done a great job with this. and wire you up and say, go for it. But how many of them would be willing to bring their sermon out into the marketplace where you don't have a captive audience and see if the things will sail or sink? I told you before, Nicky Walker, the great street preacher, and offered a lot of preachers to come out with their sermons. Do you know? Most of them would not come. You know why? Courageous inside, strong inside, no fear inside, and little discouragement. The reason why those verses were given to me all those years ago is I wasn't strong. I wasn't courageous. If you were to describe me, if you take strength and courage, think of James Bond for a minute. He mightn't be great now in the first five books of the Bible, right? So if that's strength and courage, I'm more like Johnny English, right? We're the opposite side of it. So I'm not naturally strong. I'm not naturally courageous. Easily frightened. And prone to discouragement. That's why it was given to me. And I realized gradually that I had to choose courage. It took me a long time to figure out, because most Christians want to rebuke fear. They want God to take off the head again, put in whatever it is, take out the fear thing, and put in courage, and put in strength. And something He has never done it for me. He has been with me, and being with me, He set me to overcome. I think of all the things that I had to battle with there, most of the time was discouragement. Because the assumption is, if God is with you and His promises success, the thing should flourish. There should be no need for discouragement. But fear and discouragement were part of what Joshua would have to face. And it could flatten him and go no further. So that's the reason why He says to him three times, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. They are all within Joshua's realm. He can choose. You can't not be afraid, but you can choose to come from the fear. Fear happens. Being down and being discouraged happens. Disappointments, setbacks, and all that. But you can choose to stay in the discouragement, or you can choose to move on. It can paralyze you. Or ultimately you can rise above it. And the rising above it is what Joshua must choose. And it's the same for us. God is with us. And so strength is available. Courage is available. But we must choose it. Especially when you're melting and you're under pressure. Be it mentally, emotionally, physically. There's major stress on. And God says, just be strong. I won't take the stress, just be strong. Lord, I'm a bit wobbly. Just have courage. Just go with it. I'm with you. And He'll say, I could say, I'm afraid. He'll say, don't let the fear paralyze you. Just go in. These are the things you must master. No, I showed you the wrong slide the other way around, but that wouldn't make any difference to us. I'll show you this one here now. Here's my principles. Knowing that God has spoken to you, knowing that God's purpose and mission in your life, knowing God's promise of reassurance, knowing God's instructions does not shield us from fear and does not shield us from discouragement. And that's why the lads go out pumped, right? They know all this stuff. And they meet something that frightens them. They meet something that discourages them and they're flattened. And the whole purpose of all of this given to Joshua was to help him when he met that fear that was real. And to help him when he met that discouragement that could flatten him. And it's one thing to have Joshua discouraged, is to have half a nation behind you, completely utterly depressed. You're trying to move him along. So lead on. Who is it for? I do not know. But it must be for somebody here, because the Lord even spoke to me before I got up and said, whatever you do today, make sure you do discernment. I fear we train up leaders who are very knowledgeable, who are very skilled at doing stuff and producing stuff on paper, or maybe even doing a good bit in presentation-wise, which is all a very good thing. But that's not where the battle really is, and that's not where they're going to be tested. The test is when you are faced with stress, when you're faced with real fear, and you're faced with overwhelming discouragement, do you lead on there or do you give up? God has spoken to you. He has a purpose in your life. His success for you is to bring you all the way to heaven. He reassures you that He will be with you. He has given you instruction, as He has given to me in the Scriptures. But does not shield me, does not shield you from fear. If you are fearful, you can choose to move from it. If you are discouraged, you can choose to overcome it, because God is with you. Lead on. It's what we say. Lord, we come before you and we pray, Lord, for whoever this is for. Lord, we want to follow you and be successful. We want to follow you and to know your reassurance that you are with us. We want to follow you and to know your direct and specific instructions. But the truth be known, Lord, we also want to follow you of where we don't have to be afraid, of where we don't have to be stressed, of where we don't have to be discouraged. Lord, that place is called heaven, and we're not there yet. So, Lord, help us to have a realistic view of all of this, in the challenges that we face or that we'll face in the future. Lord, there will be the challenge to be afraid and not go any further. There will be the challenge to be overwhelmed by discouragement and just quit. There will be the challenge to say, this is too much for me, and just throw in the towel, when we need it actually just to be strong. So, Lord, I pray this day for whoever this is for. I thank you, Lord, that you gave it to me all those years ago, and Lord, it helped me bit by bit to overcome the stuff that I needed to be overcome. But Lord, we leave no one today here going out pumping. Lord, maybe confident, yes, but confident to know, Lord, that they have what it takes to defeat fear, because you are with them. They have what it takes to defeat discouragement, because you are with them. And because you are with them, they can have strength and they can have courage to do what it is you have called them to do. And all of God's people said,